we are going to protect children from this type of obscene, inappropriate material. And, you know, we very much value our children. Our children are the next generation. And we're just not going to allow them to be exposed to this type of self-destructive material.
Around mid-March, Pornhub blocked its service in Texas. In 2023, the site sued Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to try to stop the enforcement of the House Bill 1181. The law requires websites that host explicit content to display health warnings on their pages and put age verification measures in place for users to access it. Sites like Pornhub argue that this law violates the First Amendment and users' privacy, but the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that Texas can, in fact, enforce the law. I'm Bree Flores, and Texas wants to know, how does the new law, Pornhub, and the First Amendment fit all together? To understand the new law, I spoke with State Representative Matt Shaheen, a Republican from Plano, who sponsored and wrote House Bill 1181. So Pornhub has disabled its site in Texas in response to the filed lawsuits from Ken Paxton. Can you take us back and explain what led to this response?
Yeah, I had filed HB 1181 and passed it. Governor signed it into law. So what it does is it just requires reasonable age verification to be conducted by pornographic websites. So we just want to make sure that, you know, young children aren't accessing, you know, inappropriate materials. We prevailed in the court, so they have disabled their sites. So people in the state of Texas can't access their sites, and that's a good thing.
And you did sponsor House Bill 1181. When did that idea start for you?
Oh, a while back, probably maybe even 2 years ago. Oh. I was hearing from, you know, parents from all over the district, even outside the district. There's just this assault on children these days. We have, you know, people doing these sexually explicit drag shows in front of children, the online materials. It's clear that they're being targeted. So just more and more parents and just other constituents were coming to me with their concerns. And this was one area that they were concerned about. So we filed House Bill 1181 and passed it to help address it.
How does the bill align with the values and laws within Texas about adult content and online safety?
Pornhub have decided not to allow access from the state of Texas. We're just going to do everything that we can. And there's a history of that, right? I mean, we protect children from drinking alcohol, from tobacco products.
I also spoke with Tom Leatherberry about this case. He's the director of the First Amendment Clinic at the SMU Dedman School of Law.
Because the state's interest in protecting minors is so strong, it's very hard for legislators, even if they believe in the First Amendment, and even if they think there might be constitutional problems with a statute, it's hard for them to vote against a statute. It might be hard for them to explain to their constituents why they're not for regulating these sites more closely than they are now. And so it's a political issue that has some popular support.
And so can you go over the pros and cons for why it passed and why people were trying not to make it pass?
Well, I think it passed because of the compelling governmental interest that states have in protecting minors from harmful content. No one, even Pornhub and the other websites, nobody disputes that the state has a compelling governmental interest in protecting children, protecting minors. I think the real problem with the law was the means that the law used in order to achieve that compelling governmental interest. Many people felt strongly that this was a reasonable method or measure to take to protect minors from those types of websites and that type of content. I would say that people who opposed it primarily because of the means used, the age verification requirement, which has some problems, and also they opposed the compelled speech feature of the law, which is the requirement that they post those mandatory health warnings. So the means was overbroad, not narrowly tailored to achieve the objective of protecting minors. And the age verification part of the law was the government telling private businesses what they had to say.
Right. So it felt like it wasn't as effective per se.
Right. The dissent in the Fifth Circuit opinion, Judge Higginbotham, makes the point that he believes the statute, if it's really designed to keep speech that's obscene as to minors or harmful to minors from having minors get access to it, it's way under-inclusive because it doesn't cover social media platforms where there are whole communities dedicated to posting, you know, online pornography. It doesn't include it doesn't include interactive service providers either.
Some people say the bill violates the First Amendment. What would you say in response to that?
Yeah, the House Bill 1181 doesn't even come close to violating the First Amendment. Again, there's established law, there's established court cases that you certainly can do reasonable restriction for children. Children, again, like what I was referring earlier, they can't purchase tobacco, they can't drive till a certain age, they can't purchase alcohol, they can't go to XXX shows. And so the First Amendment argument was defeated soundly when it went to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Some disagreements between the two judges in the majority of the Fifth Circuit panel and Judge Higginbotham in the dissent. Mm-hmm. And one of the main arguments is what level of scrutiny the courts should use to decide whether or not House Bill 1181 is constitutional. The majority reasoned that the lowest level of scrutiny, which is called rational basis, the court just has to have some rational basis to enact that law. It has to be a reasonable policy choice to achieve an important governmental objective.
There's clear studies that show children are harmed psychologically if they're exposed to pornographic materials. In fact, one of the items in the law that was struck down was we required that their warnings would be put on the websites. That part was struck down. So what we're going to revisit exactly how to structure that. It's clear that there's just materials out there in the world today that our children shouldn't be exposed to. And with the internet, and mobile phones, and those types of things, it's just obviously easier to access that.
The dissent thought that the correct standard of scrutiny was strict scrutiny, the highest level of constitutional review. And what you have to do, what the state would have to show to pass strict scrutiny, is to show that there's a compelling governmental interest. And it's the means that really fails in the age verification portion of the statute. It's over-inclusive because it makes non-minors provide their age verification too. And it's vague, it's overbroad. At least that was the reasoning of the dissent, and that was the reasoning of the district court, the federal trial judge, who preliminarily enjoined House Bill 1181 from going into effect.
Just blocking the area, and if you know, going back to the legislation's intent, right, to impose age verification in the first place so that children do not have access to these unwanted materials, you basically need a big dedicated team, right? I mean, for sure, now there are great automation tools you can use to filter the internet. But the problem of all kind of moderation or blocking or, you know, that's kind of technical solutions is the false positive. Algorithm always make errors. And I mean, so do people.
After the break, we'll dive into the cybersecurity world and how effective age verification can really be for websites. In this episode, we are exploring why Pornhub disabled its site in Texas and how effective blocking a site really is.
I'm Fei Zhang. I'm an assistant professor at UT Dallas. I do research mainly on digital platforms, cybersecurity law, and policy.
Pornhub has been disabled in Texas due to age verification and a lot of lawsuits because of that. Can you describe to us how does age verification work?
You know, Brianna, it used to be the case the website relies on something we call informed consent. So when you click on a website, there's a pop-up window verifying whether you are, you know, 18 years old and above, and you choose, you know, yes or no. If you choose yes, you go right ahead and proceed to the website, right? So that's like the simplest, easy version model of that. But now it seems that legislators around the state, every single state actually, are not satisfied with that simple practice. And I just like to give our audience a little background on this, because Texas is not alone on passing age verification laws. Right. Actually, the first, I believe, is last year in May back in Utah. So Utah, you know, instituted this age verification law, which followed by Louisiana, which asked the viewers to upload a screenshot of their government issue IDs.
In addition to Utah and Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, North Carolina, and Virginia have implemented similar laws. Pornhub blocked its site in these states to take a stance against their strict laws on age verification. Arkansas is close to passing a similar bill, and Florida is starting to look into enforcing a bill itself. Even California had a similar case.
A California law was a little bit different. I mean, they call all these laws age gating, right? And so the California law, as I understand it, said you have to show proof of age to open a social media account. And that was struck down as unconstitutional by the district court. There's a case going on right now over some related laws in Arkansas. I believe that law is in effect, but I think the case is just getting going. And I'm sure there are other legal challenges because of the amount of money at stake for some of these companies that create adult content.
You see the staggered roll over or roll out of age verification law happening at the national level, actually. So this is something perhaps bigger than Texas, but Texas is definitely one of the battlefield that MindGeek, which is the parent company behind Pornhub, has been fighting, okay, right? So we talk about this, you know, initially it's just simple as the informed consent.
You kind of listed other ways where sites have been using, like scan your ID or have face recognition. Are there other ways that sites can use to limit or control who has access to their sites?
The umbrella term that we use to describe the internet, let's say control access, is called content moderation. You probably know about it, right? And there are different ways to do content moderation. Some of them, like Meta, just recruit a big team. So Meta has its own oversight board. It has on staff to, you know, look through the post. Some of the platform like Twitter do flagging, right? If you think some of the content is abusive, or you can simply do the flag and it will go through to their teams. But you know, perhaps some of the easy ways just to do login and authentication, right? If you have to register an account so that you can access the content, and then people will, you know, stop and think about it.
What are the other ways people can block content?
IP address blocking is a primary way to do things like that. But I also want to mention that there are, you know, other ways that the platforms try to delegate the access to content or that kind of moderation decision to users. And sometimes you can also have something called proxy servers, where, you know, you basically, you know, assuming your computer now is virtually not in your office, but in somewhere in New York State, right? So that works too. Actually, remote working relies on a lot of that.
The whole ID, age verification, use a government ID or something like that, is, and the disagreement about whether or not governments have to destroy those, that proof of ID, proof of age, after they obtained it, or whether they can maintain it. I think that's just another example of government asking for information it doesn't really need.
Even when major sites like Pornhub disabled their site for certain areas, the public has found loopholes.
Easily accessible one everybody probably know is VPN. Right. So VPN is now, you know, easily available. If you just Google for a VPN, you probably can easily get one at something around $5 a month. Right. So that will be, you know, a pretty cheap price. So using a VPN, you can basically rerouting your traffic, you know, through other regions of the country or through other countries.
And I don't know whether it's true or not, but I heard a news story the weekend after they disabled Pornhub disabled its site, that the Google searches for how do I get a VPN had gone through the roof in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that too. So it's sort of these unintended consequences. Yeah, who knew?
Tom's right. According to Google data, the search for VPN among Texas users increased 4 times the normal amount after Pornhub and other pornography websites disabled access in Texas. What's the goal of regulating online content in Texas?
There's even studies that show the harmful impact of children being exposed to pornographic materials. But we're going to continue whatever shape or form that this assault, that this attack on our children takes, we're going to address it.
Right. And what are the future steps after this?
You have porn sites that have decided not to allow access in the state of Texas. We are looking at legislation to require filters come with phones, with cell phones. And so we are looking at that. We had some resistance from the technology companies, but we're going to revisit that and possibly file that type of legislation. It'll just be another layer of protection of our children.
How would that work?
Yeah. So, when you get your phone, it comes with, several applications. And what this would do is just require it to come with a filter and just, another application. Lots of people have, filters on their phones for their children, obviously, so that they're not accessing this type of materials. And so it would just be another layer. We would just require any phone that's sold in the state of Texas, it just needs to come with that filtering application.
The counter argument proposed by Pornhub is that maybe we should do device level age verification. And what do they mean by that? They simply mean that, if you take your phone with you, you can download an app which, gets registered this single device for, verifying the age. But so you can do that for the parents and you can do that for the kids. So when you log in for the kids, then their phone just automatically disables the access to those websites, right? So that's device level, right? So everybody got their own phones. Now they think that's a more effective way because that's simply probably cost less burden on the adult side.
How effective is it then to prevent access within Texas for the site?
Did Pornhub aware of this? I think certainly it did, right? But will it block VPN? I don't think so. Because the point of their, blocking the taxes is not, it's a policy statement, right? So they want to earn their revenue back. So maybe the best solution, the best scenario for them is that everybody in Texas use VPN to visit their website, but they still make their point clear to the legislator.
What are the consequences then?
The big concern here is that maybe these kind of laws lead to a world where we overblock content, right? Because there are, for example, there is a children that are naked, just running in the street, walking his dogs, right? So this is just a lovely picture,
yeah.
But maybe classified by some algorithm as, child pornography.
Sometimes people confuse obscenity and pornography, but they're not the same thing. Not all pornography is obscene. Just like some of the content, some of the adult-related content on these websites is not obscene. And so you can't say the law is just regulating obscene material, even though the law tries to define it as material that would be obscene to minors. Because what's obscene to a minor, or with relation to a minor, or the words of the statute, may or may not be obscene to an adult. And the opinion gives, the dissent at least gives multiple examples of adult content that might be pornographic or violent or objectionable some other way, but it's not obscene, where law enforcement, I think properly, have kind of put their emphasis in enforcing the laws that are on the books that are constitutional, under which obscenity and obscene materials can be regulated, punished.
But is it obscene?
Again, part of the debate between the judges in the majority and the obscene speech is not protected by the First Amendment. It's outside the scope of the First Amendment, which what that means is it can be regulated. It can be criminalized in certain circumstances and outlawed. The majority of the court reasoned that the law really only regulated obscene content or content that was obscene as to minors. And the dissent thought, no, that's not true, that not all the content on these websites that are being regulated is obscene. And where there's content that's not obscene, adults have a constitutional right to look at and receive that content. And so it was depriving adult users of those websites of the right to access non-obscene material.
How can that kind of impact the online safety and protocols and protections for minors?
There has been a heated debate of this, probably going back to at least 1996, where the Congress passed something called the CDA, Communication Decency Act. So basically in that act, you know, you can infer from the name, it wants a sense of decency in our digital platforms, in our internet. You would think many of the harm happening in the cyber world, but actually some of the most significant harm and litigations is around offline harms caused from the digital world.
I'm Bree Flores at News Radio 1080 KRLD in Dallas-Fort Worth. Thanks for joining me for Texas Wants to Know. If you like the show, please give us a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. I wrote, produced, and edited this episode with editorial support from Cooper Mall. Original music is by Michael Eisenstein. Odyssey's managing producer for National News Podcasts is Myron Kaplan.